thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
I do.
Here's John Williams.
It's exhausting. Ask my wife. This is John. We're at the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here today till 3.
Lord have mercy.
That's right. The John Williams Show goes weekdays 1 to 3, Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Hey, I'm going to do a Saturday show, 10 a.m. till 12 noon this Saturday. Whoop, whoop on social media. I'm WGN King John. Look for us as WGN King John on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook. Remember, we do a daily web poll question, too. We call it a news click. We'll get to that in a few minutes. It's a question about something in the news, and we ask your opinion about it. We'll actually talk more about today's news click in the 2 o'clock hour, because we finally got around on the news click, and will on this show, to the salute, or was it an innocent wave, that the boys at the Baraboo High School gave to a photographer in the spring. That's gone viral. People are talking about it. Very interesting results on the news click about that. And we'll talk about that and get your opinion. That'll be a little after 2 o'clock. You know, I am the keeper of hurt feelings here in Chicago. I was really disappointed that we didn't land HQ2. And then when Orion Burrow made us aware of the fact that there was this mocking Alexa voice out there saying, ha ha, Chicago, you didn't win. Well, then that got my cackles up. We talked about that a little bit at the start of yesterday's show. You remember this was making the rounds.
Hello, Chicago. Sorry about the HQ2 rejection. But if it's any consolation, you were the second city we chose. Get it? It's funny because one of your nicknames is the Second City, and that's also the name of the comedy institution.
Yeah, we know. So it goes on like that for about a minute.
I don't like the way she says rejection. She could have said the H2 bid or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Rejection.
So we reached the woman that wrote that. Her name is Sarah Weigel, and she's with an ad agency in Austin, Texas. I talked to her just before today's show started.
I work at Megara Jesse as a copywriter. I'm also a creative director. Basically, we're a full-service ad agency, smaller side for ad agencies these days, but full-service ad agency.
So I'm a little confused because the Alexa shout-out to Chicago sounded to me like that was the actual Alexa voice, was it?
You know, it is the actual Alexa voice. So when you create one of the skills, you can upload live recorded audios, you know, given that Alexa sounds a little bit like a computer and she's sort of monotone, that it would actually lend some humor to the whole thing. We actually inputted those scripts directly into Alexa, so she was reading those. Those were recorded right off of the Echo device.
Oh, I see, which is something anybody could do, in other words.
Yes, and if you have an Echo, you can download that skill and enable it, and she would read those to you in her own voice.
Do you all work for Amazon? Was this done in any way in conjunction with them?
No, we have no affiliation with Amazon. This is just something that the agency did for ourselves to kind of bring a little bit of humor to what was also a disappointing announcement for us.
Was Austin also in the running?
Yes, we were one of the finalist cities, and you know, we had sort of waited with bated breath for the last 12-ish months, hoping with some mixed feelings that Amazon would come here, and we knew that we might wish to have an apology, but probably wouldn't get one. So that's the genesis of the idea.
I see. So you guys were in the same boat as Chicago, in other words.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we all were kind of hoping, and it just dragged out for so long, and you know, there were little nods here and there. Oh, maybe it's this place, maybe it's that place. You know, they mentioned us in their Super Bowl commercial and then, you know, kind of had the rug pulled out from under us.
You also just a second ago said with mixed feelings, wondering or waiting to see if we would get HQ2. You know, be careful what you ask for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Before we developed the scripts for the Alexa Please Apologize skill, we did some research here locally. We asked people, hey, how do you feel about us getting HQ2? Were that to happen? And overwhelmingly, people thought it would be great for the city. But there was also that sort of, well, I already sit on the Congress Bridge for 30 minutes every morning trying to get to downtown. You know, maybe it's going to be a little too crowded. Maybe, you know, our infrastructure is going to be overloaded. So like every city, I think we wanted HQ2, but also thought, yeah, maybe we are wishing for the wrong thing.
Or maybe we're giving them too much. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know that we have the same infrastructure concerns as you do, although 50,000 more people downtown Chicago does not sound like a good idea in a burst. But I think the concern for people like me was, let's not give them the store. And some of these cities were.
Yes, and we definitely heard that locally. I believe Austin's incentives were lower than some of the other cities, but we did offer them, and there definitely was, you know, some local outcry about that, as in all the cities that bid.
So you guys did this just on your own as maybe, at the end of the day, a promotional thing for your ad agency, but it sounded like a programmed via Amazon message to those cities. And even at the very end, there's a little disclaimer to that effect. I wonder if there's some confusion out there. Are people across the country thinking that this is snarky Amazon?
We have heard a few anecdotes to that effect, that folks have heard it and maybe not gotten to the disclaimer at the end, or they've read the story online and didn't realize that, you know, if you just look at the headline of some of these stories, it does kind of sound like it's coming from Amazon, in which case I could see people having mixed feelings about that. But, you know, the genesis of it for us was we wanted a fun project for our creatives to stretch their legs on and do some funny writing.
I got pretty mad at that thing. I said, oh, yeah, well, what does Texas know, or what does Amazon know?
No, I totally understand. And I think none of our scripts were intended to insult anyone or be anything but tongue-in-cheek and, you know, taking into account imagining these coming from Amazon. You know, we wanted to pick actually some of the benefits of these cities and turn them into reasons why Amazon didn't choose them. In the case of Chicago, I mean, you guys have amazing comedians coming out of there, Jim Belushi, Seth Meyers, and we thought, hey, you know, why don't we write the absolute worst comedic monologue that has ever been written, implying that Amazon can in no way keep up with your comedic chops. So, you know, in all of the scripts for all the cities, we're coming from that place. Like, here's something that people love about these places, and turning that into, you know, a goofy reason why Amazon decided to go somewhere else.
Yeah, right. So you had to sort of research 18 different cities and then find out what was relevant to that town and then play off of that, huh?
We have, I think, around 130-ish, 150-ish people here now, and we actually put a call out to the whole agency, hey, have you lived in any of these cities? And I don't think there was a single city that we didn't have someone who had been a local, was born there, lived there for a few years. So we really talked with those people and kind of got a gut check from them on, you know, is this funny? Are we pushing it too far? And tried to really get some local input from transplants from some of those places.
Have you heard from Amazon at all?
No, and we really hope that they would know that this was done tongue-in-cheek and certainly on our end a spoof and not in any way intended to be passed off as from them. That's why we added that disclaimer into all of the scripts.
What did you guys say about your about Austin? What was the joke on you?
We went into Amazon felt that maybe keeping it weird all the time, as you may know that keep it weird is the Austin slogan, and Amazon just felt like that was a lot of pressure. And in addition to that, they were a little concerned about our famous bats that live under the Congress Bridge. They knew that we say they're real regular bats, but they thought, oh, well, maybe they're vampires, and maybe the whole city is just full of taco-loving vampires. And in the end, they decided that they didn't want to risk it.
I don't remember if you said anything about our sports teams or not. Those were,
yeah, actually,
sure.
The lawyers wouldn't let us name any sports teams, sadly, but there was originally an angle in there on that. But, yeah, we send all of our love out to Chicago. You guys are great. And our apologies to you for also not winning HQ2.
Yeah, sympathies anyway. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. New York, you want to go to New York City, God bless you. But Chicago has everything New York has and less. If I had my druthers between three cities to live in, Austin, Chicago, or New York, New York would be the last place, right?
I can't disagree with you. As a Texan, that is not exactly on the top of my list.
So thanks to Sarah Weigel at McGraw-Jesse. It's an ad agency in Austin, Texas. So there's the full story and the backstory to that. what they said about some of the other cities is kind of fun. We might play a little bit of that, too. And who knew? There is actually an app where you can duplicate the Alexa voice the way they did there. And I didn't even realize that.
Thank you, John. That information was helpful. Also disturbing.
Speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, it's the computerized voice of producer Elif. What's that? Why's that?
Apparently there is an application that mimics what I do for you.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't know that.
Imagine a digital voice assistant being replaced by a digital voice assistant.
Yeah, now that you mention it.
Perhaps I'll take some classes at the community college in my area.
Mm-hmm.
And learn a new marketable skill.
Oh, don't. Well, I wouldn't worry about that. We're not going to replace your voice, producer Elif.
Maybe I'll spin records on MeTV FM.
So what would that sound like?
Here is a song from the 70s. Enjoy, Simon and Garfunkel.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy, the Buckinghams. Enjoy. Here's a song that you really don't need to hear again, but you're stuck in Nixon era, so...
Share the horizons that are new to us. Watch the signs along the way.
Not been to a dentist that I have not heard that music. You go to the dentist, you go to the doctor's office. Have you
That's
been to a,
so true.
Have you been to a podiatrist lately? I don't know what they used to play. I mean, oh my God. I hear your voice, Kim. I was sitting there with the, you know, cotton in my mouth and enough steel to make Pennsylvania proud. And all of a sudden, I hear your voice doing a little newscast.
Which was better, my newscast or that song?
Yeah.
And then Wheel of Fortune is always
no
on
comment.
TV.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, really, that's the one that gets me. So if I go to a Jiffy Lube or a place like that, you know, and you're sitting in that cramped little office and the job's going to be long enough that it's going to be painful to sit there, but short enough that you're not going to go away. So you just sit in their cramped little Jiffy Lube office. And a lot of times they have a TV on in there. And it's always, I don't know how they do it, but it's the most annoying television program ever. At least for me. It's either a news station I don't want to watch or I don't want to watch the news at all, or it's some stupid game show turned up way too loud and bad magazines. And I don't want to, you know, say too much nice things about a competing radio station, though we're affiliated with MeTV FM, but I don't know what we used to be listening to in doctor's offices before then. I guess it was just some other FM station. But they do have a nice mix of music.
And news.
Yes, and pleasant-sounding news voices reading stories that matter to me.
Oh, you make me blush.
By the way, we hear you. You do not need to call producer Elif anymore. And reminder that I shouldn't say the A word when we do the A-L-E-X-A word. It sets off your things, and suddenly it's searching things and doing things that you don't want it to do.
We can just call it the Amazon device.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't mess people up, but yeah.
No, it doesn't.
By the way, 224 just texted in when we were talking to the woman saying, okay, so we decided to make fun of Chicago with some key words and phrases. And 224 just texted Jim Belushi, great comedic talent. Well, that explains a lot. 815 said, John, my doctor and dentist put on HGTV. That's maybe not a bad choice. Nobody's going to be offended by that. 815 said, Chicago doesn't want extra congestion because of Amazon, but are welcoming to illegals entering the country. 815 says, A word said constellation, not consolation. Listen again. Not exactly sure what that's all about, but the A word is now not what the A word used to be. Permaseal has been the company that you've trusted with your waterproofing issues, but they want you to know they're much more than a waterproofer. In fact, for many years, they've been transforming dirty, musty, gross crawl spaces into clean, dry, usable spaces. Your crawl space. Studies show an open, untreated crawl space can rot the floor joists above. It breeds mold and increase your energy costs. Permaseal crawl space encapsulation system traps the moisture out, leaves you with a bright, clean, healthy, usable environment, great for storage. PermaSeal takes on great pride in offering you a superior customer experience, too. I want you to call this number, 1-800-421-SEAL, 1-800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net. Let's do the one they did for Los Angeles, producer Elif. So this is not them making fun of Austin or not them making fun of Chicago. This was that ad agency's take on why L.A. didn't get HQ2.
Los Angeles. Hi. You look terrific. Absolutely stunning. Have you been at spin class? No? Spin class is so last year? You're already on to the next spin class? Well, that's kind of what we wanted to talk to you about. Look, you didn't get the part. What? No. It had nothing to do with you. You were marvelous. Simply divine. Okay, it kind of was you. You've never done sequels well. For every Godfather 2 and Empire Strikes Back, there are 71,000 Lethal Weapons. No, really. There are actually 71,000 Lethal Weapon movies.
Okay, thank you for that. Now let's do the one they did for Columbus, Ohio. This is Columbus, Ohio. Here's why you didn't get HQ2.
Oh, hi. Columbus, Ohio. You've probably heard, but in case you haven't, here goes. You will not be home to the Amazon HQ2. But, well, here's the thing. It's the Buckeyes. The delicious, peanut butter-filled kind. See, we've moved on to alternative nut butters. Sun, almond, cashew. That sort of thing.
Sorry, Ohio. I don't know what's better or worse. It's 128. The news right around the corner. This is WGN. This is John Williams. Up next, Phil Vitale waiting for us in the PPG Paints Green Room. The Chicago Tribune restaurant critic says, hi, places to eat for Thanksgiving or maybe to go when you're celebrating with family now that they're in town. By the way, Kim, have you seen that Melissa McCarthy movie about the writer Lee Israel called Can You Ever Forgive Me?
No, I have not, but I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, like 98 on Rotten Tomatoes. Here's
wow.
The first sentence of Lee, of A.O. Scott's review in the New York Times. He wrote, Lee Israel may be the single most interesting movie character you will encounter this year, which is not to say that she's altogether pleasant company. That is so true. She's a sarcastic, mean, nasty grouch who was a good writer and may still be, but her career's fallen into tatters. Brenda and Griffin, I saw it the other day and just thoroughly enjoyed it. And, you know, Melissa McCarthy is so funny, and she's so good at being a snot, you know, kind of a mean, spirited, sarcastic, curmudgeon comic. In this, it's not a comedy. This movie is not a funny movie, but there's some dark, funny scenes in this movie. And, you know, she plays a forger. It sort of dawns on her when her writing career isn't going anywhere that she can actually write in the voice of some famous people. And if she makes it look like they actually wrote it, get old paper, get old typewriters, or use a pen that they would have used back 20, 30, 100 years ago, you know. And then she goes to dealers and sells these things. Not autographs, but letters and, you know, almost always letters, short little letters. And, you know, she'll walk into a shop and go, you know, my uncle was moving or my grandmother died and we found this. Is there any value in it? And she was making, and she was good at it. The movie is really good. It is really good.
And she made that seamless transition from, you know, true comic to a little bit more serious?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's not that much of a stretch for us because, like I said, in both cases, she's kind of a snarky, sarcastic woman. But you're used to her also being over-the-top funny, and she is not that in this. You know, every now and then she'll quip something, and some scenes are just darkly funny. But it's not a hard movie to watch either, and it's a true story. So if you're looking for a film to watch anytime soon, I'm with A.O. and a lot of other people on Rotten Tomatoes. Can You Ever Forgive Me is worth your money and time. So too is Phil Vitale, restaurant critic, Chicago Tribune. Hello, my friend.
Hi, John.
Long time no see. How you been?
Yeah, good, good. Hoping for the day when my scribblings will be worth forging.
Yeah, you know you've arrived. Maybe not when you're getting paid a lot, but when somebody pretending to be you gets paid a lot.
There you go.
Yeah. And it wasn't just like mimicking the handwriting, if that was the case, or the typewriter, if that was the case, but it was the persona. I would need to know how Phil Vitale would review a restaurant, what he would say. And then write a snarky letter to my lover in Phil's voice,
mm-hmm.
going, well, you know, our relationship is over. It's like bad fish at such and such a restaurant.
Exactly, exactly.
And they'd go, oh, my God, this is gold.
Right. Yeah, saline oysters. That's just how Phil would say it. Don't make the classic mistake of saying salty, because I wouldn't do that.
Oh, you know, that's a tip then,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
That's
when
your shibboleth right there.
As you write, one time she wrote a letter and, you know, she was more revealing than the person she was pretending to be would. And they go, yeah, no, he would never have said that.
Mm-hmm.
Noel Coward would not have said that about his relationship. Funny. So, Phil, let's start with something you didn't write and then move quickly to things you have.
Okay.
15 restaurants serving Thanksgiving dinner so you don't have to cook at home.
Yeah, which is a
subject
nice
near and dear to my heart, because my family for about 15 years now has always eaten out on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a couple of places that strike your fancy.
You know that a big hotel has to feed its guests, so there's always going to be something at a hotel restaurant. Say Booth One, which is inside the old Ambassador East. They're doing a pre-feast meal that's going to run you about $55.
Did you say that? A pre what?
Pre-feast.
Pre-feast.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the way Phil Vitale would
Pricksy
say.
Pricksy fixy. You say Pricksy fixy.
I would
know
say
it's not
prefix
me.
Or pre. I would not say pre-feast.
Aha.
All right, keep going.
Now you know. And then, say, Michael Jordan's Steakhouse in the Intercontinental.
I say Jordan.
Oh, Jordan. Oh, yeah. Michel Jordan.
But I'll bet that's a nickel.
Is cooking le boeuf in massive quantities in a nice menu that goes for about $45 a person.
Oh, that's all. $45 a person, Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Michel Jordan. He's a good friend of mine.
I called Babette's, is it Babette's the other night?
Yes.
To ask about reservations several years from now. And he said, hello, Babette's House of Boeuf. And I went, House of Boeuf?
House of Boeuf.
And then did
Boeuf.
You say, I'm not fancy enough for this place.
Do you got up. Beef there? You got like steaks and hamburgers?
Right. You call somebody a meathead, they'll get mad. But if you say tête de boeuf, you could get out of the room before they figure out that they should punch you.
Okay, so you think Michael Jordan's Steakhouse, mm-hmm. not bad for $45 a person.
Right.
You like Booth One and the hotel for about $55 a person.
Mm-hmm.
Give me another one.
It's out in the north suburbs at the Lincolnshire Marriott Resort. They're in Three Embers restaurant, which they revitalized at some considerable expense, is doing a big buffet. Sometimes that's really handy for families because not everybody wants the oysters, not everybody wants the jello salad, and this way everybody can pick their own. It's $43 for adults, $20 for children.
Here's two others that are on the list that Grace Wong wrote about that you and I are just referencing here, and that's in chicagotribune.com/dining. Tavern on Rush does a three-course meal, acorn squash and turkey and stuff like that, for $17 for kids and $50 for adults.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's about the sweet spot. You're going to find about $45 to $60.
You get into some of the luxury properties, as we say, and you could easily be north of $100 a person.
River Roast, I've been to that place a few times, $60 a person. And, you know, I think that's a good place because they kind of have a shared large plate concept there anyway.
Right.
You know, like when you order boeuf there, they bring you out a hunk of it and you all eat from it.
Right. Yeah, it's nice.
So that's
a little family style.
Mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, charcuterie and sweet potatoes, a dessert, $60 a person. Oh, and Ann Sather made her list.
Can't leave out Ann Sather. It's the best bargain in the city, especially for holidays. They're always open on Christmas Day and Thanksgiving. And then their meals always include, you get the salad and you get the rolls. And so even these low, low, low prices, $12.95, are misleading because that's not your entree and a fork. That's veggies and a salad and rolls.
Whole soup match. You know, a lot of people will, what is it, before or the night after Thanksgiving? They get to town and then they gather with their old college pals or whatever,
right.
And they go out and
the night before.
That's the big night, yeah.
Right? Get a good raging hangover and then finally face your parents the next day.
I think that's about it.
Well, you're pretty much going to collapse on the couch and watch the Bears game anyway.
Somebody needs to tell me what are some good spots like that. Where are the good Wednesday night spots for Thanksgiving?
Ooh, just walk up and down Kinzie Street until you see somebody who looks really, really sick and say, where were you a minute ago? And then go there.
I'll have some of that.
Yeah.
Phil Vitale's the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. You can visit him at chicagotribune.com/dining. French restaurants have been closing in Chicago. Can Le Sud Le S-U-D, Sud, mm-hmm. Buck the Trend. You wrote, may we.
May we.
Why?
Not may we do this, but may we. But yes, it's a really cute place. The decor notes hit, you know, have that authenticity to them. It looks like a country French-like little inn. They're doing all the French classics right. There's a good steak frites. There's a very good bouillabaisse. And he was doing a roast quail with a savory bread pudding and a cranberry mostarda that I called Thanksgiving dinner in miniature. He got a tiny bird, a little bit of cranberry, and a bread pudding.
It's, oh, nice.
There you go, Thanksgiving.
Nice. And we're not talking about this because we are recommending it for Thanksgiving.
I don't believe they're open, no.
But this is just your restaurant review of
this
Le Sud. And you like
in
it.
Le Pepier today.
In Le Pepier today. And where is it located? What's the?
It is in Roscoe Village, just a block east of Western on Roscoe.
Not that we crave French in my house much, but every now and then we're in Bistro Campagna in Lincoln mm-hmm. Square, and that's...
That's good stuff.
That's
right.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. And authentically enough French for you,
sure.
I suppose.
Huh? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. You know, and all the high-end dining that we love so much in this city, it's worth noting that most of those chefs were French-trained, at least originally, even if they're not doing exact French technique anymore. But it's the birthplace of gastronomy.
L-U-S-U-D, Le Sud.
Le Sud. The South.
Just talk to me about the beverage service. Cocktails, wine, what did you notice or like at Le Sud?
Well, they have some very interesting wines, very carefully chosen, and they're chosen for sort of budget friendliest. You can find a lot of bottles under, say, $55, and then they had some fun little cocktails, nothing that was like I would not make in my destination necessarily for cocktails, but they're covering all the bases, and they're making their own. It's not just routinely recreating the classics we all know about, though they certainly can.
I'll tell you, we've got a couple of holidays and special days in my family coming up in the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're shopping around for some restaurants, and every now and then we'll read a review. And some of them mention the volume in the restaurant. And some of these restaurants are really well-known, popular, hot restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
This has been kind of a pet topic of mine and a little bit of yours on this segment for the last few months. What was the volume like in Le Sud?
They're kind of tightly packed in, and they have been busy every night. So you will raise your voice a little to make yourself heard, especially if you're there at prime time. But I was not hoarse at the end of the evening. I was not clutching at my throat.
So it didn't detract from. I mean, that's the bottom. Who cares as long as it doesn't detract? And we all have our own thresholds. And
exactly.
For me, it's. I'm put off. Brendan and I have literally stuck our heads in some places. We're walking in a neighborhood and we stick our head in there and I go, nuts.
Nope.
I'm not going to do that. It used to be that way with smoke.
Uh-huh.
You know, your restaurants and bars would have sometimes such a wave you just didn't want to fight it.
Exactly.
But for me, it's volume in some places. You reviewed Funkhausen's German Southern mashup.
Right. The chef, his name is Mark Steuer, so his family roots go back into the fatherland. But he was born and raised in Charleston, South Carolina. So a lot is his... The food of his upbringing and the food that he loves the most is Low Country and South Carolina, Southern.
So this
food.
Isn't South Germany. This
Nine.
Is German and South USA.
Exactly. So
that is a funny mashup.
It is. So he has one dish where he just his surf and turf he'll call it the surf and turfen. So he gives it a Germanic name. He has this. He takes oysters and does like an oyster Rockefeller with the spinach and the cream sauce. But then he throws some diced ham hock on top. Of it.
Nice.
And then he calls that oysters Rockefeller. And there's a big mounted taxidermied boar's head on the side of the wall. His name is, if you ask, officially Ernest Hemingway. At their brunch, they have a dish called schnitz and grits instead of eggs and grits. They do a piece of veal
else.
Schnitzel.
Yeah.
They have a lot of fun with it. No, it wouldn't be nearly as much fun if the food weren't good, but it's really tasty. The chef used to be at a place called Carriage House, and before that, the Bedford, both in Wicker Park, and both, in my view, did not have as long a life as they deserved. And his cooking was very good there, and it's still very good here in at Funkhausen.
Funkhausen, you give it 2 stars.
Yep.
You all note that the small... It's a small plate restaurant?
It's smaller because they have...
Is that the same as shared plates?
Sort of, but they have a little section of 4 or 5 big as funk. That's what the heading says. Big as funk entrees that will that'll do you just fine. And actually, in many cases, you could split with someone else.
I don't want to share with anybody else. Then I want to get a whole thing.
Right.
And I've been to some of these places, some of the new places. I sound like I go to a lot of restaurants. I don't. But a couple of times they said, we really recommend that you share. As mm-hmm. though they did have some large entrees, but they really didn't want us to order them. And I really did. But right. I didn't because I didn't want to, you know, go with the flow.
I love it when they tell you these are our concept is small, shareable plates. Well, small's not shareable. Large is shareable.
Now that you mention it, right.
We these share from abundance,
these are
not from want.
You wish you didn't share plates because that is so true. At one of these places, it was four of us, which is the way you often do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shareable. So there's a small plate and there was a thing there and it would look dandy. And we all cut it into fours and you had two bites of it and you
right.
went, wow, I'd like to have more of that. Oh, wait, it's all gone now.
It's all
now.
Gone. And chefs love odd numbers for presentation. So if the four of you are sitting there and there's a scallops dish that looks good, you have to say, excuse me, how many scallops are in this dish? And the answer will be three. And then you have to say, all right, who's not getting a scallop or how do I cut a scallop so each is like get two-thirds of a scallop? And so usually I say something like, can I have a fourth scallop? Charge me what you must,
yeah,
but give me a fourth scallop.
It's funny you mention that because we were at one of these places. They had scallops. I don't need scallops, so it worked out fine.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, it would have come to blows.
Right. Or you need a little geometry lesson again. Like, all right, if I cut this in a Y and then slide it over.
Right, exactly. How do we divvy it up evenly? You wrote about Rick Bayless. His restaurant, and we'll pick it up here in a minute. Maybe you've got a question or comment for Phil Vitale, too. 312-981-7200. Text or call 312-981-7200. WGN. So Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. He's in our studio for a few more minutes. By the way, producer Olive actually had a question about where?
Okay, my mic wasn't on. My question was about...
Campagna Bistro.
Yeah, that's it. Why don't they have crepes? I'm seeing a picture of a crepe on the website. I go to the menu and it's not there. I'm disappointed.
They're rolling crepe free.
Is it possibly... Do they have it on the brunch menu, perhaps?
I looked.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. I'm disappointed.
I would call and give them a crepe. Hell about it.
I'd give them some crepe.
Yeah.
I'd give them crepe. That's
now,
a gift.
What kind of crepe is this? I'm not getting... You put
Bull
the picture,
crepe.
You got my mouth watering, and now I'm crepe-free.
Yeah.
You think that that's too pedestrian for a fancy French restaurant?
I don't see it much on nice French restaurants. No, it's more of a... Again, it's more of a breakfasty thing or dessert thing. It's nothing like a... You know, dessert crepes are kind of fun.
Wait, what about profiteroles? I don't know how to say it.
You said it exactly right.
Oh, okay.
Are those at French or Italian restaurants?
Those are in French.
Those are French
yep,
things?
Yep, those are little puffs made of choux pastry, which is the same pastry they used to make eclairs. So think of it as an eclair that was cut short.
Drenched in chocolate.
And filled kind of the same way. It's usually a little chantilly cream or a little maybe ice cream, and then they drizzle chocolate sauce over it, and you just kind of make a mess with it.
The best one is at Mon Ami Gabby.
Oh, really? That's mm-hmm. you've got a... Well, I don't know this stuff that well. I'm out of
yep.
The French loop. You wrote about Rick Bayless's restaurant, and the headline was Ads Cocktail Bar. What's this all about?
Rick has created the Bar Sotonneau. It opens next week. And Sotonneau means basement, and it is literally in the basement underneath Frontera Grill. And so they're kind of making, it's kind of Mexican bar food, but and cocktails. But it's designed, I mean, it has to have a speakeasy vibe because the entrance is on the alley, and you take the service elevator down,
cool.
and then you're in there, and it's very small.
Is it a bar, or do they serve food there,
they
too?
They have food. They have quite an extensive amount of mostly small bites, but this one thing he calls Mexican paella, that is just, it's just so good.
Wow.
So I would make text for that. But his daughter, Lainey, has been... immersing herself in cocktail culture and has been the spirits director for all the Frontera restaurants for a couple of years at least. And so this is, I think, primarily designed as her playground. She has help, but she is running the cocktail program, and she has all kinds of interesting things, including cocktails made with medicinal herbs.
So this bar is called
Sotonneau,
and it
bar
is Sotonneau. At
it is at Frontera Grill, 445 North Clark Street. But you get in via the alley around the back.
Nice to see you, Phil. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Remember, you can read them online. They do a print edition of the Tribune now as well. But if you're digital, go to Tribune.com, ChicagoTribune.com/dining.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Here's
John Williams.
Results from the News Click. And we've got a new question for you to talk about as well. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. I'm here weekdays 1 to 3 and on Saturdays 10 a.m. till 12 noon. On social media, look for me as WGN King John. I'm not king yet. I want to be someday. That's not about me. I think it'll be better for you. I'll get through this stuff. There'll be no pussyfooting or waiting around. You become king and you just say, that's an easy one. I can fix that. Boom. Next. The news click yesterday was about the high school students in Baraboo. Am I right about that, Producer Elif? And then the today's news click is about, what is today's news click about? I don't even remember. Let's do today's news click. Today's news click, Producer Elif, if you don't mind, just share that with us whenever you're ready. Are you not ready yet? All right. So about that story, Kim, this is what happened last spring at the Baraboo High School. And the students go over to City Hall, I believe it is. They stand on the steps and they all wave, and it's a bit of a tradition or something. So you may have seen the picture of these young men, high school students, and they're all dressed up like they're going to a dance. They got their coats and ties on. They're waving to the photographer. I just said waving to the photographer because the man who took the picture said that's what he said. He said, okay, guys, say hi to your mom and dad, wave, or something to that effect. And they all raise their arms to wave. This is what he says. One of the kids did not raise his arm to wave because he said no. Everybody was giving the Hitler salute. So I did this when I first saw that story or heard about it. I thought, okay, if somebody said wave, what would I do? On the count of three, I want you to wave. One, two, three. Wave. Oh, look at that. Your arm is extended just for an instant. Your elbow is locked. And while the waving action will cock your elbow back and forth, for an instant there, you kind of have a Hitler salute.
Well, and here's the thing. There had to be other adults in that area, teachers, administrators, parents. You're not just there with a photographer alone. And I feel like if that would have happened, somebody would have said something.
If the kids would have locked it in a mock Hitler
Let's
salute.
Do the Nazi salute.
We gave you three options. You could have said, A, it was innocent. They were waving, like the guy said. 8% of you are buying that. We said it was intentional. They were doing the Hitler salute, but it was naive. These dum-dums don't have any sense of context. They know that's ignorant, but they don't have any idea how hateful it is. And that was 50%. 41% felt it was intentional and hateful, that they were giving a Nazi salute on purpose, and they knew the import of that. Wow.
It's hard in this day and age not to immediately think that because we're hearing so much of this hate speak.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I always try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt.
And there's so many stories that feature anti-Semitism right now. Although this was in the spring, this was their prom at Baraboo High School in Wisconsin. And then I've heard people say, well, have you been to Wisconsin lately? Baraboo has a reputation or something like that. And I suppose there's knuckleheads in every town. Listen, so I sound like I'm trying to move the needle. We've already taken that news click down. But my own view on this was that it was intentional, but that it was naive. I think those kids know it's obnoxious and that's a funny thing to do. They don't have, and even if they know what the Germans did to the Jews in World War II and before World War II, they don't have an appreciation for how horrible that was or what it still means. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's my hope, but that's how I voted. But 41% on our news click said, oh, they knew what they were doing, that it was intentional and it was hateful. Now, that's tough. That's tough to swallow. You really think that? And then there was the dad who took the picture. Do you have the audio of the dad who took the picture? This was him on the CBS Morning News. And they were asking him about what happened when he took it, because while the picture is dated, obviously, it was from prom, it's sort of gone viral now. You know how sometimes things will percolate up, somebody sees it, and then they start to share it. And so out of context, or at least there's a time lag, something will surface. So he said this.
I had said to them, okay, boys, you're going to say goodbye to your parents. So wave. For society to now turn it around and blame these kids is absolutely wrong.
8% believe that. How frustrating is it for that guy? You know, if his story is true, now I'll just argue his point for 1 second, but if what he said was really true, and evidently a lot of you aren't buying that, then no good deed goes unpunished in this world, eh? I mean, you're just trying to raise your kids, right? All right, I'll take the picture. Come on, everybody. What am I doing wrong here? I'm just taking a nice picture. These handsome kids waving to their parents. And now you've turned it into a Nazi salute and I'm a bad guy across the world?
But this should get resolved so easy. Some kid, some parent, somebody should be able to either dispute it or agree with it. I mean, why aren't these people speaking out?
One of the kids had his fingers in the OK symbol, which is a white nationalist sign. And folks have noticed that as well. But maybe his fingers just fell into an okay sign. The longer I try and argue that, the less plausible the denials become, right? I'm just wondering how you read that story. Jackson, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Hey, John. Great to hear from you. Hey, you know, the swastika was a Native American symbol long before the Nazis picked it up.
Did not know that.
Yes, sir. There used to be a roadside attraction, I forget where, out west somewhere, teepee land or something, where the motel was a teepee, and they had the swastikas up on top. Now I'm not condoning, but I'm just saying, we need to know the origin of these symbols, and it's a Native American symbol. I would like a few Native Americans to chime in. Obviously, I'm just saying, what do they think about their religious symbol prior to the Nazis picking it up?
Because, yeah, well, I suspect they don't like it, but that was beside the point, isn't it? I mean, the point is, it represents something today, whatever its origin. Hey, I'm helpful. I appreciate knowing that, but the point is, what does it represent today? And did the kids know what they were doing when they raised their hands? By the way, there were no swastikas evident at this photo gathering, as I understand it. It was just the kids doing that. So the news click results are 9 out of 10 of you felt that the kids did it on purpose. You're not buying the wave. Wave to your mom and dad. But literally, Kim, did you do that just now? Did you wave? Wave your arm.
I'm waving. Can you
see
me?
Yes, I can. I can. I can. If I snapped a picture right now, Elifis got hers like at a right angle, right? So her elbow is bent. Right. But now you're thinking about it. The last thing you want to do is how many times?
Elif has the Queen's wave going. I've got a regular old person's wave going.
I don't want to talk about the current president, but there's numbers of pictures out there of him or his fans with the same sort of Heil Hitler salute. And I choose to believe that that's, unless these are white nationalists, and they seem to like Donald Trump too, but I choose to believe that a lot of times that's the photo snapping the image at the moment that the arm is extended, and it wasn't a Nazi salute. It may just be me thinking with my heart. I don't want to believe otherwise. And that's why we asked you at WGNradio.com. Lots of calls and lots of texts. Hey, John, if Time Magazine's Person of the Year, boy, who's it going to be this year? I have a clue. John, if Time Magazine's Person of the Year is the poorly educated or the ignorant, the award could go to the kids in Baraboo, Wisconsin. 773, John, this is not innocent. That's Hitler's salute. 847 said, the kid who did not wave in the picture has a very different story of what they were told by the dad. 847 said, it's innocent ignorance. But 773 said, I don't buy the dad's story. And another one of you said, shame, they knew. And they should know better. Why are we giving them the benefit of the doubt? 815 said, I would have loved to know the political affiliation of those waving about the Nazi wave. 630 said, one guy in the middle front is doing the white supremacist sign. The parents were all standing behind the photographer. They were there watching. 269 said, nobody waves goodbye like that. Come on. 847, I know they knew what they were doing. Wisconsin is a very German town or state, and they knew what they were doing. I'm very proud of the young kid who did not put his arm up. This is that young kid.
As soon as I heard the photographer say, raise your hand, I knew what was going to happen.
What did the photographer say?
I just remember he said, you know, raise your hand.
Did he say anything to make it clear that it was raise your hand in this way, as this Nazi symbol?
He did not say raise your hand in a Nazi symbol way, and I'm pretty sure my classmate just interpreted as raise your hand, let's do this as a joke.
Do you think the other kids know what that symbol represented?
I think they did. It did not represent my morals, and I could not do something that I didn't believe in.
It's a brave kid who has to face those classmates again. Let's talk to Mary. Mary, you're on WGN. What's on your mind? Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to chime in and say I think you need to hear from someone in the older generation who lived through those years of the Second World War. And as I recall, a Nazi salute is straight out in front, as rigid as can be. And most of these arms were to the side. Not, you know, not 45 degrees, but they were off to the side. And really, that's how I took it. And we've just gotten so darn sensitive anymore. You can't turn around twice without somebody saying it's some horrible intention. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm 84 years old, and I just didn't see it as a Nazi sign.
I'm glad you're listening, Mary. Thanks for the call. That's an interesting perspective. Maybe Nick's is different. Hey, Nick, are you there? Hey, Nick. Breaker, breaker, Nick. 3, 2, 1, Nick is gone. Nick said that when you wave, your fingers are apart. They're not all together, as you might imagine, a Nazi salute. And these kids had their hands together like a Nazi salute. Hey, Mike, you're on WGN Radio. What do you want to say, Mike? You're on the air.
Hi, John. Hey. This guy implied, the photographer, that there were many parents there.
Yeah.
So if there were parents there, there's many more photos and videos of it. Wouldn't there be?
Yeah. 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 Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I haven't seen it. That's a good point, because the video would be telling, right? Did the kids lock arms in that position, or did they then start to wave back and forth? And Nick, I don't have an answer to that, but that's a good question. Hey, Craig, you're on WGN. What was your observation? Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, John. I remember back in the day when Richard Nixon got on Air Force One for the final time.
Yeah.
He turned around at the top of the steps. He had his right hand on his chest. He stuck it out rigid and waved goodbye to America. And he was waving goodbye. He was not. Like the one caller said, the Nazi salute is your back is rigid, your legs are straight, that arm is straight out in front of you, palm up. I didn't see that in this picture.
Thanks for the phone call. It's interesting because the calls are giving the kids a break, or at least saying it was innocent, if intentional. The texters and the news clickers, 9 out of 10 said, oh, no, they knew what they were doing. And a good almost half of you said they were being hateful in the process. That's the way it goes. 309 says on the CBS Evening News, the boy in the upper right-hand corner who did not do the salute said the photographer told them to do it before he took the picture, which is not what we just heard, so I'm getting conflicting views about that. But, oh, where's the other video from one of the other parents? If you've ever been to a prom photo thing, it's amazing how many pictures and videos get taken. Thank you, Kim. By the way, this is John. Real quick note here. So Ro Khan is doing his show from the United Center. There's that new restaurant out there. Violetta's left. That's why you were doing traffic, right, Kim? Because she's
that's
en route.
Right.
What's the name of that place? Do you guys
Queenies.
Remember? Queenie's. Yeah, I guess that's a real going concern. So if you're heading out.
And it's kind of a supper club feel, I think.
Which is what's not awesome about a supper club?
Gotta love a supper club. You get a relish tray. What is better than that? And a cheese ball?
Absolutely. And then you have an old fashioned. And just you say supper club. And Brenda and I just get in the car. We just start driving. We're like, where are we going? Wisconsin? We're going to the suburbs? I don't care. Downtown? Well, let's go to a supper club.
What exactly is a supper club?
Here's Kim Gordon with a description of a supper club.
Just go to Wisconsin.
Okay.
And go out to dinner, and you'll see supper clubs.
It's an old school restaurant. Linen tablecloths, but not real fancy.
No.
And the cocktails are big and heavy, and they're bourbon and scotch.
You know, and a lot of
basic
steak choices,
right.
Fish, chicken, a little bit of everything.
Fish, steak, chops. What do you need?
That's right.
We got it all.
If you're in Wisconsin, you get some whitefish.
I'm just picturing a buffet.
No.
It's not like
sit down.
That kind of,
sit
it's
down,
not tacky
no.
or anything.
No,
okay.
And they always, the signature of a supper club is they'll bring a relish tray and cheese and crackers before you start to order.
Mm. And it's good, but it's not like fine dining.
It's homey.
It's homey and it's affordable, and you can get a nice prime rib.
On Sundays.
Maybe some steamed vegetables, but they're not going to work real hard on them. I'll
a salad with French and blue cheese crumbles.
Yes, and my God, if you need some blue cheese, like if you go, oh my God, where are we going to get blue cheese? Find me a supper club.
Yeah.
They'll have some blue cheese and the blue cheese dressing, by the way. And I think that, the lighting isn't real bright.
Always wood. It's very woody.
Yeah. Red leather maybe in the lounge while you're waiting.
Yes.
That's exactly what I pictured. It's so weird.
Some pool tables in there.
Yeah.
Wear hockey machine maybe.
Wood panel walls.
Yes, for sure.
But, you know, I mean, but I don't want to trash this place up. I mean,
I love a supper club.
And, you know, it's not a sports bar. There's not a lot of TVs blaring the game. You know, nowhere will you see Wheel of Fortune. I don't think so. So that's the supper club experience.
Maybe a few TVs in the bar, but not in the restaurant part.
Please. And your waitress is someone named Helen. Maybe Flo. No, Flo is diner. But you know, it's a gal who's, she's been around the block.
She talk like this?
She's a smoker. Or used to be.
All right, honey, here's your relish.
So, the last half hour's topic was not a lot of fun, but there it was. Those kids in Baraboo, speaking of Wisconsin, who was raising their arms in the Nazi salute. John, if you ask 10 people, so we're moving on with just acknowledgement of many of you who texted and called. Thank you for your thoughts. 815 said, if you ask 10 people to wave, you'll never get all of them to wave in the same manner. 847 said, if you tell me to wave, my elbows are bent. My hand is by my shoulders. It's going back and forth. No one waves with their arm fully extended like those kids in the photograph. 630. Those kids need to be taken on a field trip to the Holocaust Museum in Chicago and be greeted by some survivors. Listen, everybody should do that because you need a wake-up call or not. That place is remarkable. It's so well done. The Holocaust Museum here, the one in Washington, D.C., will bring you to tears. So too will the one here. The one here is amazing and authentic. 847 said, John, I do not agree with the previous caller, the 84-year-old woman who said everybody's too sensitive. I had to live through World War II, lost my father, who was a reconnaissance pilot, and was shot down. His gravesite's in Russia. 630 said, you just played the tape, John. The photographer told them to raise their hands. Okay, so here's what the kids said the photographer said one last time.
As soon as I heard the photographer say, raise your hand, I knew what was going to happen.
What did the photographer say?
I just remember he said, raise your hand.
Did he say anything to make it clear that it was raise your hand in this way as this Nazi symbol?
He did not say that.
But a lot of the kids knew what they were doing, said the boy who chose not to raise his hand in that salute. Heidi Stevens in the Chicago Tribune today, who's just terrific. She's a really good writer. And, you know, I think the brilliance of some of these Tribune and Sun-Times writers in town is not just that they're good with prose, but they have interesting ideas or observations. It's the thought, not just the craft. Anyway, the headline of her story, we flocked to the United Center, hungry for direction and joy. Michelle Obama fed us. So there she was, sold out and not cheap. We tried to scam some press tickets. Nothing. We couldn't get into the whole flipping United Center. The place was that tight. And what was it? A big concert? No, it was Oprah and Michelle chatting. At one point, Oprah asked her what life was like in the White House. Here's part of Michelle's answer.
One of the first things we did, because we were trying to figure out, how do you make this normal for children? You know, because Malia and Sasha were...
7 and 10.
Thank you for that. they were young.
Yes.
And we were figuring out, how do we keep them grounded? And the first thing we thought is, like, they cannot... You know, when we're having pancakes in the morning, it's just crazy to have a man with a tuxedo coming. When you got some little girls at a sleepover and you're bringing in some water, that, you know, so we canceled the tuxedos. It's like, y'all, take those tuxedos off, wear some polo shirts and some slacks. Unless we did something formal, we just sort of loosened it up a bit. And people asked, do I miss the White House? And it's like, no, I don't miss the house, because we took what was important in that house with us, and it is with us. It's family, it's values, it's the friendship. So the house is beautiful, and it's historic, and, you know, it was an honor to live there. But the people in it make it what it is.
At any time of the day and night, can you just say, I'd like some refreshment?
You know, you can, but then you realize, I write about this,
yes,
that you pay for it, right? So they tell you can order anything, and they listen very carefully, because everybody listens to every word that the president says. And I used to tell Barack, don't say you want something, because then we'll have like thousands of it, you know, and then we're paying for it. So if
I know, it was a shock.
If he said he liked some rare fish, he just happened to say, this is delicious. And then we get the bill at the end of the month, and it's like, you flew that fish in from China? It's like, that fish wasn't that good. You know, you don't pay rent, and you don't pay for staff, but everything, every dish, they would count the number of peanuts that you'd eat and charge it back.
No.
So you'd get a bill at the end of it. It's not a, you know, it's not an aw. We live in a White House, y'all. You know? I mean, this is not a complaint. It's just something that people don't understand.
But you pay for your own Charmin.
You pay for your Charmin. You pay for all your guests, the food that they eat, so all y'all who came and visited. When you were thinking, I'm just going to take some, put it in the purse. I was like, we got the bill.
Heidi's right. Michelle fed us with her humor and honesty and grace. I mean, that crowd was primed for Oprah and Michelle Obama, right? When she says, you know, we don't miss the house because the house was the people in it and the experiences, and we take that with us. And people just started applauding. Oh, thank you. Grace and dignity and civility and intelligence and humor. Thank you. Thank you for that. And they were just like lapping it up. America needs that. By the way, did you listen to Steve Cochran's show today? I hope you did. I hope you do every day. It's a funny show. And let's, in fact, you know what, Elif? I think we have just enough time to, I think we can do this.
It's your non-sequitur of the day. Hey, hey! Come on, it's time to play. Non-sequitur.
I didn't even have time to wet my pants.
From Steve Cochran's show today, they had a guest on, and he said what again?
I didn't even have time to wet my pants.
This guy was, as my mom says, a hoot. So today's non sequitur.
It's your non sequitur of the day.
Hey, hey!
Come on, it's time to play. Non sequitur.
I didn't even have time to wet my pants.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a prize right now if you call 312-981-7200 and tell me what it was that that guy was talking about that caused him to say that. Justin and Mary and Steve and the gang were talking. Dave Ennett had a question, too. Everybody was chiming in. He had a story to tell. What happened that caused him to say that? 312-981-7200, you win a prize.
It's your non-sequitur of the day.
Hey, hey!
Come on.
I didn't even have time to wet my pants.
Hey, Greg, you're on WGN Radio. That was from Steve Cochran's show today. What were they talking about, Greg?
Oh, one of the best interviews ever. I don't know the man's name, but I call him Bear Puncher because he punched a bear in the nose. He's 7, 8 years old, and the guy was awesome.
Wasn't that a fun conversation?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'm glad I got to hear that. Remind me of the old days of Bobby Collins and stuff. It was a hoot.
Yeah, I'm glad you're listening. Ellip's got all your information, right?
Yes, yes. Thanks, John.
Hey, listen, so we're going to get you a certificate for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time Christmas awesome. Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. They've got a ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees and unique decorations, and we've got one of the sports-themed lit desktop trees for you, okay?
Awesome. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you all.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
And I went ahead and turned around, and Mama Bear turned around, and when I turned around and she turned around at the same time, all of a sudden she took a dead run at me just as hard as she could go. I didn't even have time to wet my pants, I'll tell you. That was scary.
You know, you never know what you're going to get. So Steve tells the story about the guy in Tennessee, and there's a bear, and he punches it in the nose and got away with his life. And he goes, he's on the phone. And there's a pause. There's a pause, and you think, okay, good luck. God bless you, Steve Cochran. You go there, boy. This could, it's just, you know, hopefully the guy will be as fun as that story sounds remarkable. And lo and behold, it was a good story.
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, I'm glad you're alive.
Me too.
Hey, I get up in the morning, and first thing I do is open the door and look around, see if there's any bears hanging out before I do anything.
I would think you really do have a little post-bear trauma. How could you not?
Yeah, I tell you. You talk about scared. I was scared.
So, had you seen
I
bears?
Didn't even have time.
I was going to say, have you seen bears on your property before?
Well, down at the creek, I've seen them down there, but if they hear a noise or they hear you around, they run off, usually. I was in the middle of my driveway, just, you know.
4 o'clock in the afternoon.
4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I just got a new car lift installed, and I was looking over there at it, and I turned around, and all of a sudden, there's three bears in my driveway.
Wow.
They had to walk right by me, and... Anyway, I'm standing there in shock, and I went ahead and turned around, and Mama Bear turned around, and when I turned around and she turned around at the same time, all of a sudden she took a dead run at me just as hard as she could go. I didn't even have time to wet my pants, I'll tell you. That was scary.
Well, listen, the instinct to defend yourself is one thing, but did you strategically know to punch the bear in the nose?
No, I had no clue what I did. It all happened reaction. I was scared and I was fighting for my life. I pushed that bear stood up on his hind legs,
wow.
About 6 foot tall, about eyeball to eyeball, and was running at my face with his mouth like he's going to bite me or chew me up. And just out of nowhere, I got lucky.
Did you get bit?
I really got lucky. I punched that bear right in the nose.
Yeah, he did get bit. He got a couple puncture marks. He had his coveralls on, though, and the bear kept grabbing coveralls instead of flesh and bone. They had a little Yorkie, 3 pounds, his wife said. And the Yorkie came out and gave that bear all kinds of grief. Dogs are great. You know, the dog wouldn't even be a snack to that bear. The dog's out there ticked, you know, doing the good work. Punched him in the nose and got away. The full interview is on the Steve Cochran show page. Go to WGNradio.com. Click on Steve Cochran. You can hear that conversation there, too. It's Kim Gordon, right, in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. She's got the stories that matter, and we'll say hello to Rowan Anna coming up on WGN. Here's today's news click. It's a daily web poll question. Producer Elif.
Newly elected state comptroller Susana Mendoza is now running for mayor. A. Fair enough. It's up to her. B. Wait a minute. I don't like this switcheroo.
I don't like the switcheroo, to be honest with you. If she wants to run for mayor, I'm fine with that. But what's she been in office? 8 days? Or office elect for 8 days? It's kind of covering your bets. You know, I'll run for this, and if I get that, great. But if I want to run this, I'll do that, and it'll be even better. I don't like the switcheroo. And I happen to like her. Rokon, Anna DeVlantis, and the whole gang are out at the UC getting ready for pregame coverage of the Blackhawks game. Hi, guys.
Hi, John.
I like to refer to it as the pregame.
Nice.
Just in case.
Nice.
That's an interesting thing. She was already comptroller, So she was just going for
re-election.
Re-election.
Right.
And she was pretty much a shoo-in, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah, she got 130% of the vote. Yeah. It's Illinois.
You know, well, she's got connections.
But, mm-hmm. I mean, I wonder what it would have done to her chances. She still would have been elected if she said, by the way. I mean, why did she run for re-election then?
John, who's asking?
John, you didn't decode this properly. The commercial she ran.
Yeah.
Remember, she was wearing a Chicago flag soccer shirt.
Yeah.
Right in the commercial.
I loved her commercial.
Yeah. Do you think that plays well downstate when you're wearing a Chicago flag soccer shirt?
You did call that on the air.
I did not think of it that way.
She shot one commercial that is going to be useful. The images are going to be useful in her run for mayor. It's pretty clear.
But she's good with a soccer ball. How can you not love her?
She's going to be a very, very, very tough candidate, mm-hmm. in this.